suit of old.
Oh, sit yourself.
What are you doing now?
Belcher the job. Oh, they'll stink of Doros. Just the way I like them.
I should have kept you off the whiskey.
It's best quality. Doesn't in the box.
For God's sake, will you quiet down?
As safe as houses. Guaranteed. Here. You hold the box now. Give me the lamp.
I'll hate you snuff the wick. That'll be us in the dark.
Give it to me. I'll snuff it. Now, a wee lick of oil, a wee lick more, and yeah, the whole damn thing.
This place will go up like a tinderbox.
And I'm just the boy to do it. We will, I went running through the tooth.
Oh, watch yourself.
What's my bad foot, mammy? And all the children in the bed for it's nearly 8 o'clock.
The setting sun. A rare sight on the city skyline had usually been the haunt of rain clouds which cling to Edinburgh like a child to its mother's skirts. The ball of flame sank down behind a horizon of housetops, and I mused upon the element. The fire of purification and cleansing. I had much need of that. The muck and dirt of crime have wrapped me up like an animal in its fur. I've only coffee and the odd dram of whiskey to keep the hairy man at bay. And what of the flame of life? Not long ago I watched it leave a man's eyes as a bullet smashed into his head. No matter he was bent on killing me, he was still a human being. And out it went. Perhaps it will light up again. In hell. Another kind of fire. One thing for certain, whatever the flame touches, it leaves the mark. A passionate stigmata.
It's a pleasant enough ring, Constable, but what finger of what young lady it goes on is quite another matter.
But you know the young lady, sir. Miss Emily Dudgeon. You introduced us.
I did not. I merely sent you walking in the same direction.
I bless the day you did, Lieutenant Roach.
No doubt, but Miss Dudgeon is a fine... She is very young, and her father, Alec, is very hard to please, possibly the reason he is an insurance adjuster.
I shall accept his valuation.
Yes, yes, but there may be other suitors in mind. More
what?
The Dudgeons have attained a certain level of society, Constable. Levels are everything.
I have received steadfast encouragement from Emily, distinguished myself underwater in a recent case, and you yourself, sir, have recommended my promotion.
I have made a recommendation which may help with your promotion.
Sergeant Murdoch is about to retire, sir.
We shall try to observe a difference.
A vacant spot, and here I am.
It is not my decision, Constable Mulholland, as indeed it is not Miss Dudgeon's. Don't rush the fence.
It's the only way to get the horse over.
Oh. All right, I'll have a word with Alec Dudgeon.
Oh, I thought I heard your voice, Mulholland. Come on, we have a case presently.
Do come in, McLeavy. Don't wait to be told.
I'm sorry, sir. A matter of some urgency.
Huh? Everything is these days. What is it now?
The fire at the bonded warehouses. A body has been found in the debris.
Destined for the best hotels up and down the country.
Dear, dear.
South America, special import, highest grade.
A tragedy, Mr. Seeley, a tragedy. Where is the body?
Oh, over there. It was found buried under the fallen timber, missed on the first search. You'll forgive me if I don't go too near.
Oh, it's a wonder they didn't smell him out.
£20,000 worth of top-class cigars creates quite a smoke screen.
Does it really? I don't use the things.
A cigar is the mark of a true gentleman. At least that's what they say.
What do you make of this, Mulholland?
In my opinion, glass and metal fragments from an oil lamp. Near enough the corpse for us to draw certain conclusions.
Conclude away?
Well, we know the lock on the door was forced. A clumsy, botched-up job. It would seem the thief carried on his modus operandi, dropped the lamp, and inadvertently indulged in self-immolation.
Immolation tends to mean sacrifice, often accompanied by the sprinkling of water. I think the word you're searching for is incineration.
Whatever. He set himself off into a fine wee funeral pyre. A stinking charry mess, even unto the bones of his feet.
Darjeeling. I always find the fragrance so soothing, don't you?
I'm more for coffee, black.
You prefer stimulation?
I like to keep busy.
I have asked you here, Jean Brash, so that we may not quarrel. Mm.
The tea is very nice, Countess.
You have taken two of my girls.
They came to me.
One of them, Simone, ma petite demi-mondaine, she is highly skilled and represents a large investment. Her especially I wish back.
She told me pain had begun to outweigh pleasure in her obligations.
Pleasure begins when pain ends. Sometimes the tiger needs a little blood.
I've seen the stripes on her.
Part of the profession.
Not in my house. It is called the Just Land. Justice for all, Countess.
But, Jean, your house is like a stall in the marketplace.
Beg your pardon, madame.
But, of course, Rachel, you know Mistress Brush?
I do indeed. Madame, there's a gentleman client downstairs with a most unusual request.
At this time of the day?
As I said, unusual. It involves bacon.
I shall be down directly.
I'll tell him, madame. Good day, Mistress Brash.
Good day, Rachel.
Such a pretty young morsel.
I knew her mother, Sarah Semple. She died in Perth Penitentiary. Rachel takes after her.
I want the French girl back.
That is not possible.
Don't make an enemy of me, Jean.
Thank you for the tea.
Oh, but of course I know your history. For you, everything must be a fight. You dragged yourself from the gutter, and the habit remains. To provoke, to antagonize. Oh, how sad.
I'll leave before I burst into tears.
Don't go beyond your class, my dear. Especially if you wish to avoid pain.
What a pompous ass.
Don't be so hard on yourself, my Holland.
Hey?
Never mind. What's the matter with you and Celia anyway? You were like two dogs over a bone.
I believe he has paid court to my Emily.
For God's sake, this is a criminal investigation, not the pangs of jealous love.
Good day, gentlemen.
Oh, Mr. Dudgeon, good day to you, sir.
How are you, Alec?
About my business, like yourself. I take it you've been to the warehouse?
I have.
What's your opinion?
It looks like a break-in and accidental arson, sir.
What do you think, McLeavy?
It has that appearance, but I like proof.
Ah, so do I. Mr. Seeley is highly regarded in business circles. A young man of entrepreneurial vigour. But this will be a considerable claim. Best investigated by myself.
You don't trust your underlings, Alec?
I run the department, Inspector. I'll take the accountability.
I'm sure you'll do a better job than any other man, sir.
Oh, that would be boastful. I'll do the best I can. Good day, gentlemen.
Good day, sir.
Good hunting, Alec. Watch you don't trip over your own righteousness.
I didn't realize you knew him.
In the old days, we were on a few capers together. One swindle, we bonded whiskey. We broke it and then celebrated. Ended up dancing a jig in Doherty's tavern.
Difficult to imagine, sir.
He was in the ranks then. He's a changed man now. A paragon of respectability who looks not back whence he cameth. Promotion does that to you, Constable.
I'll take the chance.
And of course, he is father to your fair Emily. Do you want me to put in a word?
No, thanks. I am already represented.
I distrust coincidence. The watchman for the docks that night had cried off sick, leaving the warehouse curiously vulnerable. While Holland and I paid a visit, but the man seemed ill enough, his wife confirmed that his stomach had taken a scunner at a dish of shellfish. I noticed a full bottle of good whiskey tucked away in a corner and filed it for future reference, but the watchman stuck to his story, and I could find no reason nor proof to contradict him. I checked with Alec Dudgeon later that day, and he confirmed that all invoices and bills of carriage were genuine for the imported cargo, so that indeed was what had gone up in smoke. He himself had found nothing wrong at the warehouse. So all would seem to be above board. All very neat. Too much neatness offends me.
Chocolate or meringue? I think the chocolate.
We met up yesterday, your father and I, but we didn't have much time to talk.
Yes, he said. He's busy. Yes, the chocolate.
I intend a word with him, though.
Hmm. What about?
Nothing for my little Emily to know. Not yet.
I'm not your little Emily.
Oh, of course you're not.
You men. You treat us all like children. Oh, dear. It's all gone.
The chocolate?
Yes. How tragic.
Have the meringue.
Hmm. Just this once. But what about you?
I'll attack the Dundee cake.
Father said that dreadful man of yours came to his office.
The inspector? He's not my man. I am more...
I know. But he's dreadful anyway.
Well, soon I may be shot of him.
How so?
Promotion beckons.
Father would be so pleased.
I hope so.
Poor father. He works so hard. His responsibilities are endless. Myself included. Since Mama died, he's provided everything.
I may relieve him of some of this burden.
Pardon?
Nothing. I'll settle the account.
The recital at the weekend. Can you come?
I couldn't change my shift.
Oh, no matter. Oliver Seeley has offered to escort me. Whatever is the matter?
One of the almonds.
From the Dundee cake.
It's stuck in my gullet.
Throat is the polite word, Martin.
Gullet is the more accurate, Emily.
Mahond!
That's your beck and call, sir.
See here. The doctor's report. It confirms what I noted about our burnt offering while you were using big words and being very scientific. The left foot of the corpse was twisted, but not from accident of fire, a birth defect. One of my charges has such a twisted foot and is somewhat the same build as the burnt man.
Well, who is it?
Crombie Murdoch.
He's a wild man.
And drink is special. He sampled our hospitality twice for housebreaking, but low-class stuff. This would seem beyond his ken were it not for one thing.
And what may that be?
Also in drink. He has a penchant for setting things alight.
A theftuous pyromaniac.
You may describe him so, to his mother.
He's missing these twaddies. What a wild spark he is. But he's a good boy for all that. What has he done now?
Well, ma'am, how can I put it?
Burnt himself to a crisp.
Oh, God, can not. Oh, no, my wee boy. Oh, my darling son.
He's been playing with fire, Mary.
Oh, well, it was a wee thing, maybe. You couldn't let him near the matches. You know, his father used to say to me, Maisie, if you let that boy... But how could it be?
Maybe somebody took them the word. To do a chore.
Well, what kind of chores?
Break into a tobacco warehouse.
A warehouse? Oh, well, that's a big thing. If he was in drink, he'd want a wee smoke, but oh, that's a big thing.
Maybe it wasn't the only chore. A wild spark, your own words.
I don't follow.
Are you sure of that?
I am.
And this is all you have to say?
I know nothing, Inspector.
You may remove the sheet, Constable Miller. No, not at the head, the other extremity. Go on, man. He won't bite.
Right, sir.
Oh, my God. It's his foot looking like twisted and twisted.
Shall I do the rest, sir?
Might as well.
Oh, my poor wee lamb. Oh, my God, he's mutes and burnt.
Cover him up, Miller. The job is done.
Shall I fetch you a chair, ma'am?
You can sit on the corner of the slab, Mulholland. Mary, we will await you outside. In the meantime, don't hold back your sorrow. Constable Miller will keep you company.
You have a heart of stone, Inspector.
Not at all. I don't doubt Mary's grief to be genuine, but I also know that she and Crombie were as thick as thieves. She knew his every move.
But the man's dead. The case is over.
I suspect not. What if he was a hired hand?
Are you thinking deliberate arson, sir? Oliver Seeley?
Don't raise your hopes, Mulholland.
But why would he do that? The cargo is genuine, certified so.
Aye, I know. But while I still wonder, I shall continue to investigate.
Is somebody being murdered in there?
Sorrow for a lost son, sir.
Ah, well, here's another sadness. Your favourite whore mistress has just had a nasty accident.
What?
Jean Brash.
Her carriage crashed down a steep hill. She should have stayed in the lower parts where she belongs.
How badly is she hurt?
The man in the beach saw it. He reported her unconscious and taken back to her body house. No doubt there will be many doctors in attendance. Well, I'm out for a bit. Good day, Inspector.
Good luck, sir.
Thank you, Constable. But luck does not enter into the matter.
What's all that about?
The lieutenant is acting on my behalf. A go-between.
Usually the function of the panda. A mother's misery is never-ending. I'm to Jean Brash. Nothing ever happens to that woman by accident. And the nearer death's door, the more she might tell me.
You sure that's the only reason, sir?
You wait for Mary. Play sympathy while her grief is raw. Go at her again.
It's cruel, but I'll do it.
Ah, well, it's a cruel business, Constable.
I'm not sure the mistress is all that anxious to see you, Inspector.
I'm not sure I care, Jessie. I'm on an investigation.
Oh, investigating what?
That's my business. Tell me, who's Jean at war with these days?
I don't know what you mean. She's in there. You can ask her.
You seem somewhat angered, Jessie.
She just goes her own way. It's me that's got to look after everything, and I get no thanks. People looking down their neb at you.
Always the way. Comme toujours.
We can't all be French, Inspector. She's in there.
Jean! Jean Brash! Are you still alive?
Sadly for you. Come in.
You're sitting up?
Why should I not be?
I heard your eyes had closed and you had been borne away like a warrior on his shield.
My coachman, Angus, he took the brunt of it. Ow.
What's wrong?
Oh, bruised ribs.
Internal bleeding.
I'm used to that. Sit down.
Ah, they've let your dogs out again. I caused them to be shut up.
Are you that afeard?
They'd taken up residence in your wreck of a carriage. I wanted to examine it.
Did you know?
The front axle had been sawn part through, then covered with dirt. A good professional job. You don't look surprised.
Don't I?
On level ground, you see, it would hold well enough, but on that big cobbled hill which descends just outside your gates... Oh, may I help myself to a biscuit?
If you've still the teeth.
Thank you. I don't think death was intended. More a shot across the bows. The Countess and you. Daggers drawn, I hear. Over a certain Belle de Nuit.
Jessie tickle you so.
She's hinted.
She's just jealous.
Maybe she'd give the girl back.
No one threatens me.
It might be worse next time. I don't want you dead, Jean.
Thank you.
I need your neck for justice.
Oh, ow, ow.
Ah, well, one more biscuit and that's me. Of course, it may not be the Countess. Such a charming lady, but I would check on your mode of transport from now on.
I owe you for that, McCleavy.
You'd have searched it out eventually.
The warehouse fire.
Yes?
I hear it's not all it seems. A certain charming person may have had a hand in it.
You wouldn't be trying to stir up trouble for this person.
I would not.
Anything else?
There may be a partner.
In the dance of deceit, you always need a partner. Ah, Jessie. They also serve to only stand and wait, eh?
I was just coming to see if there was coffee needed.
No, the biscuits will suffice. Take care of yourself, Jean.
I intend to.
I can see myself out. Shanks' pony, a more secure form of transport.
Oh, damnation.
That's him gone, then.
I noticed.
Can I procure you anything?
Some civility.
I've said my piece, mistress.
I heard it. The Armstrong brothers, get word. I want to see them.
They're a wild pair.
Wilder, the better.
Oh, my goodness, Jupiter and Juno.
What?
The dogs, they're after the inspector.
Oh, did they get him?
Yes. No, he shinned up the gate. Oh, dear, his trousers are all ripped.
Oh, no, don't make me laugh. Jessie, my ribs.
He's saying with his fist, he's not happy.
Oh, McCleavy, McCleavy. You'll be the death of me.
There you are, ma'am. Suit yourself.
What a sight. My eyeballs are roasted with it.
Yeah, your poor boy. And how did he find himself in that place, I wonder?
I wouldn't know.
Did he not mention anything?
I'm that sear-hearted. I cannot think.
Oh, may I get you something, ma'am, to help?
My medicine drops in the drawer. Not that one. Leave it alone.
Oh, I'll just open it anyway. Well, now, what have we here?
Nothing.
Oh, I'm sure, nothing but pretty little scented doilies. And yet underneath, I have a very good sense of smell, Mrs. Murdoch. What have we here? A fine, slim box, all the way from South America, by the right.
Oh.
Always had a fine nose, ma'am. On the farm, I could tell you every time if there was a weasel near the hen house.
Mr. Dudgeon, I am not quite sure how I ended up as advocate for the constable's case, but here I am, and I require from you a judgment.
A judgment?
As regards his honourable intentions towards your daughter, what are his prospects?
Poor. Emily is too young. She does not know her own mind or heart.
I agree with that, but perhaps in years to come?
It would be many years.
The young man may believe that your daughter is worth waiting for.
He may wait, but what of her?
She has, I am told, expressed some fondness.
Emily is prone to whims. I indulge her far too much myself, one day one thing, one day another.
So you see little future, only a whim.
I cannot tell the future. Then there is position. In society, a constable has a long way to go.
But I would have thought you, of all people, would...
What of me?
Who would understand the possibilities of rising to the heights from...
I have worked my fingers to the bone to get where I am. There's few men with my energy or application.
I'm sure that's true.
I've sacrificed much and will again. What is so dearly bought cannot be lightly thrown away.
Dearly bought?
Respect, Lieutenant Roach. Position. Emily is too young. She must be protected.
I shall convey these sentiments to Mr. Mulholland.
He was drunk that night. I went along to try and keep control. Some hope, eh?
What was the plan?
He was to fire the place. He said nobody would be there to stop us. It was guaranteed.
The Lord loves a penitent, Mary.
He ripped open a case and threw that box at me. I didn't even know I had it till I got home. I ran terrified. What I could see in my mind.
Who put him up to it?
A fine gentleman, the Crombie said. Met up private in a room back at Devlin's Tavern.
Did he have a name?
Never gave it.
Did you ever see him?
No.
But this box of cigars here, it comes from the warehouse.
That I can swear. Perks of the job, Crombie said. He called them Stinky Doros.
They are indeed. The cheapest, nastiest cigar on the market. My Aunt Katie used to smoke them.
God help her now.
Mary, I have to get somewhere, and I'm trusting you're not going to run out on me.
Where have I got to go? And anyhow, I want to bury my son. What's left of him?
Cheap cigars masquerading as finest leaf, and you collect a vast sum for a very small outlay. Good business, Mr. Seeley.
And how am I supposed to have accomplished all this, Constable?
You hired Crombie Murdoch to fire up the warehouse, probably bribed the watchman to cry off sick. We'll question him again. The crates were genuine, the contents false, and the fire knows no difference. A clever plan, but it got a wee bit spoiled when your hireling...
Incinerated.
Up in flames, as you are now.
Forgive me. A box of cheap cigars and the word of a thieving old woman. I don't see that unleashing the full weight of the law upon my sinful head. Do you?
The whole investigation will begin again, piece by piece.
Jealousy?
What?
You know that Emily prefers my company to yours.
That's not true.
She finds you amusing enough. Like a dog on its hind legs.
You're a liar!
You know it to be true. You are not of her class. And because I am, you would seek to destroy my reputation for your own jealous ends.
I care for Emily, and she for me. There is no jealousy here. Only a man doing his job, and by God, I'll do it.
You care for her, do you?
I do indeed.
Then consider this before you let loose your vile slanders. The documents and invoices for the cargo have been examined and certified genuine by the very top man. Chief Insurance Investigator, Mr. Alec Dudgeon. Do you think I could pull the wool over his eyes? A man of his ability and experience?
I don't know.
You do? It is not possible. The man whose daughter you've been chasing with your tongue hanging out, if I am to be accused, then so is he. his reputation ruined, and that of his daughter in society quite shamefully defiled. Are you willing to put her through such an ordeal to satisfy your own petty jealousy?
I will do my job.
Then do it. Go to Mr. Dudgeon's house, tell him your suspicions, evaluate his response, and then, if the fancy takes you, charge us both.
Are you suggesting I have made a mistake?
No, sir, not at all. But in light of what has come to light, as it were, it may be as well for you to re-evaluate your findings.
It strikes me, Constable, that you are the one in need of re-evaluation.
I beg pardon, sir?
The word of a thief's mother. You would place it above mine.
It's Mr. Seeley in the dock.
I am implicated. All this seems hardly worth the bother, Constable.
Bother?
Examine it so. Who knows where these cigars came from, and this mysterious gentleman? A figment. You only have her word.
But, sir...
The son is dead. The guilty party. The mother, despite her low breeding, is in desperate grief and has been punished enough. In my opinion, you should forget the whole thing.
May I ask you, sir, at the warehouse, you must have found fragments of tobacco...
I did indeed.
And the quality? You found nothing awry?
They were burnt to a crisp. But I had no suspicions.
And the cargo documents? The invoices? All the papers from abroad? They were genuine?
In my opinion, they were. Without fault.
I have come to a decision, sir.
And?
I shall do what I should have done in the first place. I shall go back to the station, lay everything I have found on my superiors' desks, and let them come to whatever conclusion.
Constable, wait. Do you insist upon this course of conduct?
I'm afraid I must, sir.
Then I must ask you to wait until the morning.
I have delayed long enough.
It will give time for me absolutely to scrutinize all my findings. Then I shall present myself at the station in the morning, along with Mr. Seeley. And I am certain the whole matter can be cleared up without setting any tongues wagging.
But the...
My reputation is at stake here.
I realize that, sir.
For the sake of my daughter. If for nothing else. She must be protected.
Ah, Sergeant Murdoch, still alive, eh?
Lieutenant Roach. Burning the midnight oil, sir?
Don't be sarcastic, McClavey. I was hoping to catch Mulholland.
So was I. Not back yet.
No. You've changed your trousers.
I have indeed. Well observed.
I am a policeman.
The trousers were ripped in the line of duty.
And how is Mistress Brash?
The lady's fine, Sarah, but a remark she passed has caused me to bang on a few financial doors.
You seek a loan, perhaps, to invest in her thriving business?
Not quite. A banker who owes me a wee favour as regards some peccadilloes of his darling young son. I shall know better tomorrow morning.
I will hold my breath till then.
And how fared Cupid's go-between?
What do you know about it?
Very little.
Then you may remain in that happy state. Though I fear Constable Mulholland might bid you a measure of disappointment.
Good night, sir.
I should have stayed on the farm.
Martin, in here, quick.
What? Oh.
This was my nursery room. Cozy, is it not?
I'm not sure about cozy.
What are you talking to my father about?
I can't tell you.
I think I know.
Do you?
And I think I know his answer.
You do?
He said, you must wait.
He did say that.
And will you?
Till the morning.
Oh, you're very droll, sir.
That's me.
You mustn't lose heart.
I'll try.
Everything comes to he who waits.
Does it now?
Everything.
Is this a whim?
What does it feel like? Oh, you'd better go.
The wisest course.
Martin, we can still sing duets.
Once I clear my throat.
Ah, God bless the banker's son.
Sir, may I have a word?
You may, and I with you, but the exchange must be in loco motion. Last night you might have reported in, Constable. Where were you, eh? Caterwauling under young Emily's window, no doubt.
Not really, sir.
Good God, is Murdoch still in that position?
I have some information.
And so have I. Lieutenant Roach?
Inspector, do come in. The door is always open, it would seem.
Sorry, sir, but I have received some very interesting news.
I am all ear.
Our friend, Mr. Oliver Seeley, is facing financial ruin.
How so?
Gambled the exchange and lost. Plunged heavily to recoup and lost again. And now has nothing left to gamble. So says my banking confidant.
Is he reliable?
He runs the bank.
I think I might be able
to... Hold yet, Mulholland. The lieutenant and I are in communication.
So what is your thinking, McCleavy?
£20,000 insurance money. My banker friend assures me that no amount of that sum has gone abroad from his account to pay out this cargo.
He may have had the money in other forms. Securities, bonds, liquid cash. Who knows what businessmen get up to?
Who knows indeed?
All very circumstantial, Inspector. To move against a man of silly standing, I need hard evidence.
I may have some of that.
Some of what?
Hard evidence.
Eh?
Has the constable been to the well before you, McCleavy?
Said nothing to me.
I couldn't get a word in.
Well, you have now. What evidence? What are you talking about, man?
Well, it's a long kind of story.
Everything is in position. Be awake to what?
Then give it, Jessie. Give it. I should wear my hair up more often. Oh, that rib still pains me. Yes, it gives me an air of aristocracy, like a countess.
I don't think this is a good idea, mistress.
Don't you know?
You have no proof of her ill intent.
She will have no proof of mine.
Both wrongs dinna make a right.
They do, in my world.
You have no proof.
Hand me that hair grip. Thank you. Jessie, when a child, I received no schooling except how to pick a man's pocket while he was otherwise engaged. But as I grew up, I learned myself to read and write in some proficiency and even a smattering of mathematics.
Uh-huh.
2 and 2, in my estimation, always come up to 4. Tell Geordie Armstrong to wait until the evening hour and then make his delivery. Now, what dress shall I clothe my fragile body withal? The white, I venture? Yes. White, for purity.
You withheld evidence.
More like delayed, sir.
Withheld from your superior officer.
Most improper. I only know of one other man who would do that.
In my case, it is strategic. Constable Mulholland has allowed his personal affairs to hinder the investigation of a case. We have lost valuable time, and time is always of the essence.
Come in.
Inspector McCleavy, can I have a word with you?
What is it, Miller?
A report just in. Sergeant Murdoch has it at the desk. He wishes your presence.
Tell him I'm coming.
Right you are.
Sir.
Sir.
Don't you go anywhere, Mulholland. I haven't finished with you yet.
You have been a fool, Constable.
I meant well, sir.
The road to hell is paved with such intentions. However, let us hope Dudgeon and Seeley may yet provide an innocent explanation and that there is no harm done.
Alec Dudgeon has hanged himself. In his study, the body was found by his daughter.
Oh, dear.
I'll send men to Seeley's home and offices, but I doubt her bird will have flown. Time was of the essence. There was a measure of arrogance in what you did, Mulholland. The Scots have a name for someone who rises in arrogance and falls flat on his face. A puddock. You have made a puddock of yourself.
Unfortunately so. Puddock is the word.
Ah, well, we'd better get to the scene of the crime, Constable.
Crime?
Suicide is against the law.
Oh, no, I can't. I can't go, sir. I can't face Emily.
Part of the job.
I can't, sir.
Oh, I'll come. I feel partways responsible for this mess in any case. I shall try to comfort the young lady while you examine fibres on the carpet, McCleavy.
Sounds like a fair division of labour. I'll get my hat and coat.
Right. I am afraid, Constable, that your prospects of promotion may have gone up in smoke.
The Dudgeon household was in chaos, Emily howling and shrieking like a lost soul, while two maiden aunts who had turned up as if from nowhere did their level best to console her. The maid was also in hysterics. She had turned up late that morning and somehow seemed to blame herself. Cook was wailing in the kitchen. The very walls reverberated with female lamentation. Emily fixed upon Mulholland as the object of blame. Her father had been upset and distraught after the constable's visit. He had caused all this. an irrational but intense hatred. I feared romance had been somewhat nipped in the bud. Dudgeon's body had already been cut down, wrapped up, and borne away. I put the accoutrements of his suicide in my evidence bag. He'd used a pulley rope from the kitchen. But the weather was fine enough. They could dry the clothes outside. Constable Miller arrived with news I was dreading. Oliver Seeley had indeed flown the coop. Vanished. Disparu. The last brushstroke in a very black picture. But what circumstances drove Alec Dudgeon to such a pass? To take his own life? To lie and deceive? All of this was so much against the character of the man. And then, as I snuffled around, which is my wont, I found, inside his desk, a sealed envelope with my name on it.
Have you finished in here, Inspector? I myself have done whatever I can, and God knows it was little enough.
A moment, sir.
What have you there?
The whole story. What a sad, sorry business it is.
Jamie, God forgive me for what I am about to do. I know for certain that you will not. I have betrayed everything I hold dear in my life, my reputation above all. In my loneliness after the death of my wife, I took to visiting a house of ill repute. Not often, but enough. I formed an attachment to one of the young women, Rachel Semple by name, and was sufficiently foolish to write her some letters of affection. Oliver Seeley came to me and informed me that the girl was going to make the letters public, sell them to the newspapers. They would be my ruin and hold me up to the most savage ridicule. He could prevent it, but in return he must request a small favour. Small. Only this one time and never again. It was out-and-out blackmail, and to my eternal shame, I accepted the bargain. Doesn't he fool like an old fool? After the constable, I had another visitor last night. Secret, by the back door. It was Seeley. He wanted to know if we could brazen it out. I told him I was finished with lies, and so I am. This is my confession. But I cannot thole the shame of a public persecution. I have sent Emily out shopping. She loves shopping. The maid will discover my body. God forgive me. Alec Dudgeon.
The best laid plans. The maid was late, and Emily came back. She'd forgotten her purse. As you say, a sorry business.
I can find little pity in my heart.
The shame, McCleavy, it broke the man.
Shame? Who cares for shame? He could have stood up, admitted guilt, taken his punishment. Who knows what friends may have rallied round?
Would you? Would even his own daughter?
She never got the chance. All she saw was her father's boots swinging in the breeze.
Then what should he have done?
Sat with her, told her, begged her forgiveness. If she really loved him as a daughter, she would have been his support.
I somehow doubt it.
She never got the chance. Her birthright was sacrificed on the altar of his respectability. That is truly shameful.
Oh, that Rachel. She has been such a disappointment to me, Inspector.
How's she now?
I would be so happy to help you find her, but last night she robbed me of jewels and money and then ran away.
With whom?
One of my best clients. A double loss.
This client, Countess, was it Oliver Seeley?
It was indeed. But how could you know?
Sometimes I surprise myself. But what I don't know is where they've gone.
Nor I. But I found out, too late, alas, that a ship has left on the morning tide for South America.
So, Rachel robbed you?
I am too trusting.
I think not. I know for a fact that you open every letter the girls get here at your hotel. I think you saw certain letters she received. You saw the possibilities also.
And what did I do?
You and Seely concocted a scheme which involved blackmail and insurance swindle and has now cost a man's life.
A life?
Alec Dudgeon hanged himself.
How sad. And I have lost another client.
Oliver Seely hasn't a penny to his name. I think you paid off him and Rachel to go abroad, rather than be taken in this country and involve you in a criminal prosecution.
A fascinating story, Inspector. And they say the police have no imagination. But if you have even the smallest piece of proof, I would be so interested to see it.
I have not.
Then it remains in the realms of imagination.
A good man died because of you. I shall not rest until I bring the due vengeance of law upon your head.
I want us to be friends, Inspector.
I am your enemy. Open and sworn.
Dear me. It seems as if someone has just dumped a wagon full of raw sewage all over your front drive and grounds.
What?
A liquid mass as well, and once it soaks in, oh dear me.
Where?
Down there. Oh, let's open the window and have a whiff.
Oh, my God, even up here.
Oh, let me jam this up, in case you want to shout down.
No, no!
There you are. I'll just pop out the back way, Countess. Unless that's been done as well.
Help me! Close, please!
Till we meet again, Countess.
Oh.
Even if it's in the dark, I'll know you by the smell.
Jean Brush, you will pay for this. You will pay me in blood, my dear. In blood.
That night the weather broke. A heavy storm. I hoped that somewhere, far out on the ocean, Oliver Seely was hanging over the side of the boat to be sick. His foot might slip, and the sharks could then feed on one of their own. A vain hope, I fear. I doubt we shall ever see him again, or Rachel. And in that case, Alec Dudgeon's suicide will be swept quietly under the carpet of respectability, hidden behind lace curtains, hushed into sober secrecy. The social ranks will close to cover his nakedness. I prophesy for young Emily that her heart will mend, and that she will once more sing the duet of love, but not with Mulholland. His covering is that of sackcloth and ashes, and the lieutenant has decided to pack him back to Ireland for a few weeks. I'm sure his Auntie Katie will minister unto him and return her boy to us in his former presumptuous glory. As for me, I am looking at the black thunderclouds, and I see flashes of white lightning coming towards me. The fire once more. This case began in flames, and now it will end just so. And I am reminded of the saying of Eliphaz the Temanite, one of Job's comforters. Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards.